Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Harry's. Of course, you've heard me talk about Harry's razors before on the show. I am a Harry's user, have been for a long time. Of course, I love Harry's because it's the easiest, highest quality product that you can get for men's grooming. Super easy to go over to harrys.com, stock up on what you need for your shaving needs, comes right to your door. And it's high quality stuff, high quality razors, cartridges, shave gel, and it's no fuss. So I've been a Harry's user for a long time, and I would encourage you to do the same. Great way to support the show. Go to harrys.com/lineup. And this holiday season, Harry's is offering custom limited edition shaving sets, the perfect gift. Guys, it's the brother-in-law gift. It's the default stocking stuffer for your brother, your brother-in-law, your dad, anybody. It's easy. It's great. It's high quality, and it pleases everybody. You get the cartridges. You get the shave gel. You get the limited edition winter chrome handle. Okay? You can get it engraved if you want to go next level. Okay? They start at $10. It's the perfect gift, and you're going to get $5 off your order if you use harrys.com/lineup, and it's a great way to support the show. So this holiday, give Harry's, give Handsome, get that holiday shopping done, get that holiday shopping done online at your desk while you're at work, and cross it off your list, because honestly, you can't fail with harrys.com/lineup. Now let's get into the show. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, getting ready to break down this Friday NBA slate, a nice little 8-game slate that we have going on here. Should be a good one. Kind of a small slate here for Thursday night. We had just the 4 games, which turned out to be very entertaining basketball games, but not exactly perfect DFS games. So definitely a lot to like about the Friday night slate. A lot more spread out. There's some really, really juicy totals. I got my man Josh Fernandez over here. He's going to help us break down this slate with the player pool. But let's go ahead and take a look at what Vegas has to say about the upcoming slate. All right. Games open up on the East Coast. In Charlotte, we have the Hornets there, the 202 total. The Bulls are coming to town. And the Hornets right now sitting at 9.5-point favorites, a little bit more in a couple places, opened at 11. It's down to 9.5, 10 in some spots. Definitely a good spot to get to the Hornets. We have some injuries there, guys. I'll lump the injuries in here for you while we go through this one. Frank Kaminsky and Cody Zeller are out, so you're going to open up some front court minutes. We will talk about it during the player breakdown, no doubt about it. But definitely some front court minutes that you're going to see. Probably Dwight Howard gets some extra run. Not a ton, but some extra run there. Marvin Williams should benefit as well. Cleveland at Indiana, 220 total here. It's down to 218, and Cleveland is favored by 3.5. This is going to be a juicy game. One of the higher totals on the night. Should be a pace-up, high-scoring affair. These two teams met earlier in the year, and it was a barn burner, so definitely going to be competitive. Should be a good one. Cleveland looking to keep that win streak alive. Questionable right now is Miles Turner. He's got a calf injury. He's been playing through it, but we'll see. If he sits, then that's definitely a good opportunity for value on the Pacers side of things. Denver at Orlando, 218 total here. Orlando just favored by 1. Lots of injuries here. You have no Jokic. You have no Millsap, obviously, in Denver. And then you have Fournier, doubtful. He did an ankle in that game. So you already have Terrence Ross out. You have no Evan Fournier. Jonathan Simmons looks to pick up a lot of those minutes in the backcourt, as well as a really good spot for the front court of Orlando in this one. So definitely some interesting things to consider as we go into that game, because you're going to want to get some exposure. It should be a high total, fast-paced game with a lot of interesting value pieces. Golden State at Detroit currently sits at 213. Golden State favored by 4. Pretty low total considering Golden State. Must be the no Steph effect, and Draymond Green is probable here. But, you know, people are bullish on Detroit. They're bullish on their defense. They really like them in this situation. They're not really dealing with any significant injuries, so they're at full strength. It should be a competitive game. I think Detroit could hang with them as long as they don't get outshot. There's definitely reason to like the Golden State value, or excuse me, the Golden State usage bump that obviously KD is going to see, as well as Klay Thompson in this one. So plenty of things to consider in this game, because I think a lot of people are going to be attracted to Kevin Durant once again. Sacramento at New Orleans, no total in this one. Anthony Davis is currently questionable in some places, doubtful in others. I don't think he's going to play, and I think you're going to probably see this total somewhere similar to 210 would be my guess. New Orleans favored by at least 5 in this situation at home here. Boogie Cousins should eat, and that's about all we're considering. I don't think Anthony Davis is going to play, so that's all about all I'm worried about. Dallas at Milwaukee, 201 total here. Milwaukee favored by 6 at home. Dennis Smith Jr. is questionable with a hip, and that's a thing. That's a real big deal, actually. So we should definitely be paying attention to that injury, because you could definitely open up some serious backcourt value, open up some really, really interesting backcourt value in Dallas if that happens. So keep your eye on the news reports about Dennis Smith. Toronto at Memphis, 201 total here. Toronto favored by 5 on the road. Man, that is disrespectful to Memphis, but Toronto certainly playing extremely well right now. Even with, Mike Conley out, the Memphis Grizzlies still really not playing very well. You could certainly see a situation in which Toronto wins this game. It's hard not to like them, but 5 points is a big spread for a road team here in Memphis. So should be a slow game, probably two teams that are content to just kind of play in the half court, and not a lot of injury value that we should consider. There's a couple players in the front court for Toronto that could be interesting, but not a ton that we're that in love with in this game. Boston and San Antonio, 187 total here. This one should be definitely fun to watch. Jaylen Brown questionable, though. He has an eye issue. Kawhi Leonard looking to come back on Saturday, by the way, so keep your eye open for that. It should be fun to see him get back on the court. But San Antonio favored by 2 here at home with the C's coming to town. Should be a fun game, competitive game, but one of the lowest totals on the slate, and for good reason. These two teams both top 5 in defensive efficiency and have been playing phenomenal basketball, so it should be tightly contested. Defensive matchup, you know that Popovich is okay with that, so not exactly my favorite spot for fantasy value, considering how many other high total games you have on the East Coast. So definitely a slate where you're probably going to see ownership concentrated in a couple places: Cleveland, Indiana, Denver, Orlando, Golden State, Detroit, Sacramento, New Orleans, a couple games that have some clear fantasy value. And then not a lot of love for the West Coast games, but that's okay. So let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown, and we will figure out exactly who we do love tonight in NBA DFS. Who do you love? All right, jumping into the player breakdown here, going into this Friday slate, not as big as we normally have on a Friday, but a nice size. I believe a 8-gamer. Eight-gamer. So some good games here. A couple games that are really, really juicy. I mean, this Denver-Orlando game, Cleveland-Indiana. Just some really, really nice games where you can really feel confident about locking in some players who should be able to perform. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about, who you want to target here on this slate. So we're going to start at the top of the slate here with the highest priced players. Of course, I have my man Josh Fernandez on. Josh, how we doing?
Sean, I am good. I'm having an exciting conversation with you before this about talking about like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and it's like out of control, man. We're like, we're like super crazy people about this stuff lately.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous, but not gonna lie, it's ridiculously awesome and very fun. Listen, it's not like I took out an extra loan to just put it into Bitcoin. I didn't do that. Not yet. I'm thinking about it. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure people have. But
hey, let's just say that, you know, if you want to get in on this and you have like $50 sitting around, yeah, just jump in, man. You can buy like 0.005 Bitcoin and just get on for the ride, man. Let it go.
Yes, that has my endorsement. Throw $50 at Bitcoin, see what happens.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give you a hell of a podcast. You're gonna double up your money on FanDuel Friday night, and then Saturday morning you're gonna cash out and buy Bitcoin.
Take your $16 and go buy some Bitcoin. Anyway, all right, let's forget it. People are probably going to turn the podcast off if we talk too much about crypto. All right, there is literally, though, this is interesting. This is almost an identical slate to the one that we had on Wednesday night, because you have no really, really expensive point guard. You have Victor Oladipo at small forward as the most expensive shooting guard on the slate. And then you have three of the stud small forwards. You have Giannis at Dallas. You have LeBron at the Pacers. And you have, Giannis is at home versus Dallas. LeBron at the Pacers and KD at Detroit. So, and then Boogie. So, it's literally.
And then you've got Aaron Gordon breaking into the 9Ks, man.
God, what, you know.
What's that all back about?
Back in my day, Aaron Gordon cost $6,500, $5,400. Anyway, all right.
What is it? So let's talk about this. He goes 46 against the Hawks, and they raise his salary $900.
I guess. I don't know. But let's talk a little bit quickly. I'm going to talk about Victor Oladipo. You know, he's kind of a fringe stud. It's not always a price point that people pay for a shooting guard. But, I mean, in a matchup like this against – Cleveland, I mean, Depot is really, really appealing. If you can find a way to fit him in one of your more balanced builds, you know, at 9,300, you're not in love with that price, because it does take a peak performance for Depot to do that. But he really has shown about a 35-point floor. You know that in a game against Cleveland, he's going to max out his minutes, and they have no problem giving him close to 38, almost 40 minutes at times in these games. So long as they are in it, you have to like your chances. He previously against Cleveland, he had 23-2-7. You know, that's not really what you want. When he gets the rebounding going, when he gets the blocks and the steals going, that's when he really, really has been productive. So attacking Cleveland on the wing has been a really, really profitable trend. You know, their defensive versus position, they are 26th against the shooting guard. And, you know, he's not going to draw LeBron. He probably will draw J.R. Smith, and that's a plus matchup for him. You know, you're not going to have Iman Shumpert out there, who actually is a decent wing defender. So I like this spot a lot. Josh, do you see a situation in which you can fit him into your lineups?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always a way to do it. You know, if you want to do it, you can figure out a way to make it work, as long as you've got enough games with players to choose from. I mean, there's going to be a way to get it in. And I like the spot. I mean, Cleveland is pretty good DVP-wise lately against point guards and small forwards. So if anyone's going to do anything in that backcourt, it's going to be Depot. And I kind of like the looks for Thad and, I guess, Sabonis. I mean, whoever's going to play the five, if Miles Turner is going to be out, I guess it would be him, but they're looking good DVP-wise. Cleveland is not particularly great at stopping front court production, so Depot could get some nice looks with assists as well and rack up the numbers. And, you know, if the game's close, the guy can flirt with a triple-double, you know, the way he's being used lately.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, and the thing that you really love is just his ability to generate turnovers and create steals. Now, you know, Cleveland, not necessarily a team that, you know, there's not a lot of steals. They're pretty average in that department that they're going to allow to backcourt players 3.5 steals. That's a pretty average number, but you know, it's not out of the question that he could create a couple extra steal opportunities. The one thing I will say that is an outlier here for Cleveland, you just mentioned it, assist upside. 15 assists they've allowed to backcourt players, one of the highest numbers in the league, and that's just because they allow unassisted field goals, which is what makes their defensive efficiency pretty poor. So let's go ahead and talk about these three small forwards real quick. I'm going to let you talk first about Giannis. He's at home. He's got Dallas. Not my favorite matchup, but you know, you always got to think about him.
Yeah, he definitely disappointed on his birthday. I don't think anybody was anticipating I'm doing air quotes, 47 points. Hoping for more in that one. I didn't use him outside of a late slate lineup. But yeah, definitely disappointing. So you have to imagine that he's going to come and rebound against Dallas. I mean, just on a basic level, looking at it DVP-wise, I mean, Dallas is pretty good against wings. But we know that he lines up, you know, at the four at times. Hell, he probably lines up at the five at times, for all I know. I don't watch a lot of Milwaukee Bucks games.
Yeah, he's been playing the five, actually, in some of their small ball lineups. And, you know, it actually is a really interesting look if they had a more progressive coach beyond Jason Kidd, who just, you know, does whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
He probably could find himself at the, like, in a really interesting, almost like Draymond Green-esque type role.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's something that you got to appreciate about Golden State. And, you know, everybody that pays attention, you know, knows that Pachulia starting at the five is always kind of just like a starter in name only, because pretty soon Draymond's going to bump up to the five and KD will bump up to the four, and they'll get Iguodala in there or West in there at the four. And I feel like Milwaukee's got the personnel to be able to do stuff like that more intelligently. So it's unfortunate. You know, I definitely agree with you with Jason Kidd just being the YOLO asshole guy, just kind of like screwing up people's hopes and dreams. But look, Giannis, I mean, he's got a great matchup power forward wise. Dallas is getting crushed by power forwards lately, giving up 53.4 points per game over the last 2 weeks to power forwards. That's a 12.8% increase over their 1 month performance. So that is the power forward unit, Dallas versus power forwards, on this slate that is giving up the most production over the last 2 weeks and trending the wrong way, the right way for us in fantasy purposes. So don't just look at small forward when you're picking Giannis because he's a small forward on FanDuel. You know, look at the power forward positioning as well, and that matchup screams out to use him.
You know, the thing that I always look at with Giannis is how much, like, just defensive efficiency, because he can destroy a team that is just not that good defensively and allows a decent amount of pace. You know, and then, well, the thing about it is he actually, you know, Dallas is not the worst defensive team in the world. They're 17th right now in defensive rating. That's not phenomenal. You know, Milwaukee is 18th. You know, and they're dead middle, 98 possessions per game. But you also have to think about, like, who's going to guard him. It's probably going to be Harrison Barnes. That's not a terrible match. I mean, that's not a phenomenal matchup. Harrison Barnes, pretty physical, 6'7". I don't know. I think I'm a little bit bearish on him in this situation, but I do agree, you know, if he has the ability to get into the paint and kind of take advantage of, you know, some of their poor front court players, I like that spot.
Yeah, and it's a nice bump for them, Milwaukee, too, because they're, as far as I can remember, they're a pretty terrible rebounding team.
Right.
And
no, they are.
Dallas is, well, Milwaukee's a terrible team as far as gathering rebounds, and Dallas is a terrible team at stopping their opponents from rebounding. So you have to figure that those two will kind of like mesh well together and give a nice bump. And, you know, you could chalk up Giannis for another three or four boards. So I like it. I like it a lot. You know, it's expensive to get him in there, but it's nice.
it's not a bad idea. And you know, the interesting thing is they played this game, and they've played this one in Dallas, and he had 53.
Ah, nice.
Phenomenal number of rebounds, 24 and 17 over 39 minutes. So that's not bad at all, you know, but it's not quite where you want him to be for that price. You know what I mean?
Right.
So LeBron, though, at 12K, very interesting here. And primarily because of the pace of this game. You know, we know that Cleveland never really changes their pace. They're always kind of average. But Indiana, top 10 in pace this year. One of the faster teams in the league, running over 100 possessions per game. You know, I think that there is a lot to like about LeBron versus this team, primarily because I don't really know who's going to guard him. I got to be completely honest with you. Lance Stephenson, right? I mean, I think that's probably going to be Lance Stephenson. And no team allowing more points in the paint than Indiana. So LeBron wants to get to the rim. He's going to be able to get to the rim, no problem. No rim protector there. Miles Turner, not really living up to being a solid rim protector. So I think LeBron is in an interesting spot here to, you know, kind of get what he wants. And so long as Indiana can keep this relatively close, as we have seen, I mean, they let teams hang around lately. If they don't show up to play defense, they let teams hang around, kind of like the Warriors. They let teams hang around. And then, you know, these guys have to end up playing 37 minutes just to make sure that they get the win. You know, and they have something to fight for now. They got a 13-game win streak alive and well. So I think LeBron is an interesting pivot off of who should be the most chalky small forward with no Steph Curry, which is Kevin Durant, again, on the road in Detroit. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to like here, Josh. I mean, we'll both touch on it. But what stands out for you in this matchup with the Pistons?
Well, I mean, you said it. You know, there's no Steph Curry, you know, eating up 25-30% usage. And you got to love that usage bump for KD, you know, pure and simple. It was really nice having Draymond out last night, Wednesday night, when KD, I think, went for, what did he go for? 60-something, 65, something like that. Just getting tons of usage. What is it? His usage percentage was insane.
He took 31
43%.
Shots.
40. How many did he take?
I think he took 31 shots.
Yeah, triple doubled, 43% usage against Charlotte. That usage number is going to come down because Draymond's going to be back, and I believe that should drop him down. But it's probably going to go down to like 30-35, which is still absolutely elite. I will take the $1,000, $1,300 discount on KD. Going against Detroit is a really nice matchup for him. You know, Golden State is looking at their forwards in a really solid spot. Detroit's given up 45.4 points per game to the small forward position over the last 2 weeks, which is in line with their 4-week number. And they're pretty average against power forward. So whether KD is at the four or the three, it really doesn't make a difference. He's in a really nice spot DVP-wise. He's in a nice spot, you know, projected usage-wise. And then, let's face it, he's Kevin Durant. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was kind of like, I talked about this on the Wednesday show before kind of we had all the news. And it was just like, you know, he just hasn't really done. By the way, he took 28 shots. He didn't take, those extra shots. And I was like, he just hasn't really popped. You know, he hasn't had that dominant performance. And then right on cue, you know, he goes out there. And I think what you probably see is you're probably going to see, I don't think you're going to see fewer attempts. I think you're probably going to see some attempts probably in the 25 range, you know. I think Draymond will certainly defer on the offensive end unless he has a lot of open looks. And there will be some sets that Kerr gets out there where they're not on the, you know, they're not on the floor at the same time. So there's definitely, you know, something there to consider. I think that the thing that you have to probably knock him down a little bit is the rebounds and the assists. Draymond is definitely going to soak up a couple of those rebounds and assists. You're probably going to see him return to, you know, the 7-5, for example, like he had against New Orleans. So if you can pencil him in for close to 30 points, you know, 7-5, I think you're looking at a solid 50-point outing plus in what should be a competitive game, because Detroit, you know, they're at home. I think Drummond has a really distinct matchup advantage here. I think that that's a good spot for them. The only guy, I mean, Drummond, I just mentioned him. The only possible, the real center that you want to play, though, oh, wait, sorry. We got to talk about Aaron Gordon, the new member of the 9,000-plus club. So, Josh, quickly talk about Aaron Gordon before I mentioned Boguardo Cousins.
Oh, yeah. Well, Aaron Gordon, I mean, $9,200. It's weird. Like, I don't ever remember him being that expensive. I know that he's went on some heaters over the last couple of years, but $9,200 might take the cake. If I'm, you know, remembering correctly.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's got a nice matchup with Denver over the last couple weeks, 50.4 points per game to power forwards, 60.6 to centers. So, you know, bigs against Denver, definitely, or excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong row. Oh no, I'm looking at the right row, 60.6. Yeah. So bigs are definitely feasting against Denver, and I just love that DVP situation. I love that pace. You know, I love his ability to just completely take over a game. And it's just – I think that people are going to shy away from him at this price. So – I want to say that it's a sneaky play because of his massive upside. I mean, I just don't know how many people are going to look and see 9,200 Aaron Gordon and, you know, roster him. So yeah, it could be sneaky. It could blow up in your face completely. And Vucevic could come out and go for like 50 or 60, but, you know, it's an interesting spot.
The reality is that in that Atlanta game, and by the way, Evan Fournier out, he has an ankle.
Oh, so yeah, yeah. That's
some you have no Evan Fournier. You have no Terrence Ross. You're going to have probably, you know, a lot of smaller guys on the court. So Gordon and Vooch are going to get as many minutes as they can handle. Now, that game went into overtime. But Vooch and Gordon both got up, you know, 15 and 19 shots respectively. Like, Vooch is in another really, really good spot here against Denver. We saw what Boogie did. You got to love that. So I think Vooch would be interesting. The problem with Vooch is I think on DK, it's a multi-center night, by the way. Problem is that you have Boogie right now against Sacramento at home, no AD. I mean, this is insane. So you get the Boogie revenge game, first of all. You also get the 28th-ranked DVP. You get the 35% usage rate without Anthony Davis on the court. Willie Cauley-Stein is injured. He's been better at home. It's a 5-point fantasy bump for him to be at home. He's coming off of rest. I don't understand how in your cash game lineups you don't just say, Boogie, it's basically a free square. I'm not doing anything except for locking in Boogie. Let me build around that the rest of it from here. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis being out is just huge. And then the fact that he's going back to Sacramento, well, Sacramento's coming to him, is just that the perfect narrative. Oh. Because you just think about all the shit that went down as he was on his way out. And I mean, you just factor in those two things there, just the monster usage, the immense skill level, and the fact that he's going against this team that, you know, really kind of did him wrong. And I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how you avoid this guy in cash. 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know how you avoid him either. I think it's a phenomenal play. You know, and I, you know, the only thing that you have here is that you don't have to play him in tournaments, because let's be very clear about this. Nikola Vucevic is in a phenomenal spot, as is Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond will have the ability to dominate the paint. Golden State allows some of the most scoring in the paint, in the painted area, in the restricted area. So definitely an opportunity to pivot in your tournament lineups. But I think Boogie is your man in cash. The revenge game and alone, I would be playing him, even if AD was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, this is just we would have to go through and take like an hour or two and just kind of like peruse rosters and look at potential revenge games. But I can't think of one outside of like Russ versus Golden State, you know, getting a revenge against KD or whatever. Yeah. But this is a beautiful one. So let's fucking jam it in, man. This is a great one.
All right. All right. Moving on to the grout. A lot of decisions to make down here. We're going to sort through guys who are basically below 8,500. I'm going to start with Elfrid Payton. Now, listen, I know Elfrid Payton was kind of a disappointment in that last game against the Hawks. Like, I touted him, you know, and the problem with Elfrid Payton is that he doesn't always score. You know, he had a decent game, but he shot really, really badly. 26 fantasy points, not enough in there. And 39 minutes. But here's the thing. Okay, he gets another shot here with extra usage as a guard with no Fournier, who took 21 goddamn shots in that Atlanta game. So you can definitely go to Payton in this situation, I think, and feel a little bit more comfortable about the possibility of getting a nice solid usage bump. We've seen that this trend against, against point guards, against Denver, it continues to be a profitable trend. They're 28th right now in DVP, just like they were last year. Murray are not good defenders. So I'm going to go right back to him here and know that he's going to get extra touches on the first unit. This game is going to be up and down, ton of pace, you know, and the Nuggets, they're allowing almost 10 assists to the point guard right now. So I am into that. And I think that if he can get into the lane and push the pace, then we're going to have a really good situation on our hands.
Yeah, I like that play. I'm just going to throw in a few guys who look really good DVP-wise, and that's Jamal Murray and Rajon Rondo. So we're looking at a situation for – Murray, where Orlando is just getting gashed by point guards. For those of you patrons out there that have been looking at my NBA worksheet, and you know about my kind of my tier system for color coding based on standard deviations and averages and all that jazz. Over the last 4 weeks, Orlando is in the pink tier, which is really, really, really bad for them, really, really good for us. They're getting destroyed by point guards. Now, is that good for Jamal Murray? It's really hard to say because he is so unpredictable, as is Emmanuel Mudiay. I would venture to say that point guard production can siphon over to Gary Harris and Will Barton a bit. Obviously, Mudiay has his once every 5 to 7 game 30-pointer. But you got to look at Murray. I would say, you know, half the time, maybe 2/3 of the time, you can roster him in good situations and feel good about it. Now, is that going to help you for cash? No. But for GPPs, it's worth a shot. As for Rondo, it's a pretty average matchup with Sacramento, but I like how the matchup looks for him peripheral wise. Sacramento, you know, you can get assists, you can get steals. They're not the cleanest team. They're not going to play at a high pace. New Orleans will, though. So you kind of even it out and say that the pace is just fine.
Well, and the thing the thing you remember about Rondo is that he's not really going to score that much anyway.
No,
and so
exactly.
The ability to exploit a bad defense for other people is kind of what you want. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, from a pricing perspective, he didn't really move. Murray did, however. So I 6K for Murray doesn't really interest me too much, especially when you have Darren Collison right there at 6K. I mean, this man has been phenomenal in the right spots. Okay. Now he has to get the minutes. No doubt about it. He has to get the minutes. He has, you know, he got sat down in that Chicago game last time out, and that was because they destroyed him. You know, it wasn't really that much of a game. And you know, I have to think that in this Cleveland spot, he's going to play. He got 30 minutes there last time out. He had 25, 5, and 8. When he can get it done, he gets it done. I mean, he did it against the Knicks. He has good matchups. He knows how to exploit them. He only, you know, he only does it when it's time to do it. You know, and I think this is definitely a spot when we can expect Darren Collison to possibly have a ceiling-type game. So I like that at 6K. I mean, the problem with Moutier and Murray, by the way, Josh, is that Malone doesn't know who he wants to give the minutes to.
Right.
Whoever's hot, he gives them the minutes, and that's completely unpredictable. So
that's like the same deal with Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson. Like every time I'm looking at Detroit in a good game, I'm like, who the fuck do I pick? This is so annoying. I can't ever just like confidently go with somebody. And the same goes with Denver. And it just seems like, I don't know if you notice this, but it seems like Detroit and Denver are like always in a good matchup. You know, it's like, who do I pick? This is ridiculous.
I know.
Well, speaking of who I pick, you got Gary Harris right. and Will Barton. Who are you going to go with?
I'm going Gary. Gary took 19 shots, dude, that was like a season high for him. He was feeling himself. Like, and this team without Jokic, like, he is very comfortable shooting, and he's in another really plus matchup. No Fournier out there. Like, I don't know who is going to guard him. Like, John Simmons is going to have to guard the three. They just don't have the depth right now on Orlando that they are going to have somebody who can stretch the floor. They're going to have to go big at some points. Maybe it's Mario Hezonja. Maybe it's DJ Augustine double time, do 2-point guard type situation. If he gets DJ Augustine, he's probably got about 4 or 5 inches on Augustine, you know, and Orlando was already not that great against wings. They were struggling with, the three, you know, and they're 29th in DVP to the shooting guard. So now all of a sudden you lose your starting shooting guard. What are you going to do? I mean, Gary Harris, he's on a heater right now. He's got such a phenomenal floor because he, even if he doesn't score, he's going to put up the peripherals, the rebounds, the assists, a few steals here and there. I just love that as a cash game player profile. He never gets more than less than 35 minutes. He's so consistent. And if you get that 20-point game out of him, you're going to get almost nearly a 40-point performance. I mean, look at this, Josh. His stat line versus New Orleans and Dallas are almost identical. 21 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. 24 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. The difference was just that in one game he had an extra steal instead of a 3-pointer. He had 38.6 points in both games. Mm. He's so consistent, and I love that about him. So I'm into Gary in this situation. I think he's a great play. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm looking at Tyreek. Now I'm a little worried because if you look at DVP, Memphis is not in a good situation going against Toronto. Toronto's one of the best teams in the league at defending the point guard position. Mm-hmm. But as we know, Tyreek is a point guard, shooting guard eligible. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's relegated to, you know, the bottom of the garbage can. I mean, you don't just give up on a player who is basically like the number one, maybe 1A or 1B option on that team right now with Mike Conley out. But against shooting guards, Toronto is really bad. Giving up 45 points over the last 4 weeks, 43.5 over the last 2 weeks. Slightly trending in the wrong way for our purposes, but still really good relative to other shooting guards. So that's Toronto's biggest weakness, is the shooting guard position. Everywhere else, they're pretty solid. So my guess is like they're going to look to limit Marc Gasol in this game. They don't really have anybody else that you fear. So I think that this is a game, and Toronto, as we know, is really giving up a lot of fantasy points, you know, and pace. They want to play, you know, pace up games. I think that this just bodes well for Tyreke to, you know, just kind of will himself to a 40 or 50 point game.
All right. I like that. I like that call a lot. I think the real advantage you have here is that if he's going to draw some DeRozan possessions, which, I mean, and Kyle Lowry, let's be clear about this. Like, he's a great on ball defender on most point guards, but like, Tyreke is a little bit bigger, so I think it's a decent spot. The one thing I don't, you know, love is just the team defense from both teams. This could be a low scoring affair if they wanted it to be. You know, both teams kind of slow things down, keep it in the half court because they're very disciplined. So that's one thing that kind of concerns me. But let's move on to the
Tyreke's at 6 inches on him.
Does he
on Lowry?
Which means that he probably won't draw Lowry because, you know, they're going to have to. DeRozan is at least 6'6", right? So, I mean, you're going to have to at least have some length there.
Yeah, because they're going to have Ben McLemore at the two, I guess. And
Oh, God.
It's the most boring fucking player in the universe.
Thrift shop. Go back.
Stupid.
Mark.
Fucking thrift shop.
Thrift shop, dude. He DM'd me and he's like, how ridiculous is this? Like, he cashed his lineup, but McLemore had 1 point. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Why did you use Mac? Oh my God.
Because I mentioned him on the pod. I was like, dude, he's getting like 20 minutes.
I know. But McLemore,
it was just one of those.
He's like, what's his face? Like Andre
the
Roberson. Andre Roberson is like the only guy who could play 40 minutes and get you single digit fantasy points.
Definitely. Dude, please don't let me touch the ball unless it's on defense.
All right.
All right, let's go on to the small forward. Small forward has been dead. You have a ton of studs, but if you really need somebody in this 6K range, I'm actually okay with a guy who also could eventually get you one fantasy point over 500 minutes of playing time, Denzel Valentine. He seems to be like the most trusted guy in this rotation here. You know, Jonathan Simmons, by the way, is almost a must play. He's going to play 35 minutes in this game, and there's going to be a ton of shots available for him against Denver. So I have zero issues with Jonathan Simmons. The one thing I will say is that on the wing, that's not a phenomenal matchup against Wilson Chandler. Wilson Chandler is a decent defender, but the pace should be in his favor, and he's pretty aggressive getting to the rim. They'll need him to do that. But Denzel Valentine at 5'1", the man really hasn't gotten less than 30 minutes recently. And he seems to be like a Gary Harris light. Like, he gets the rebounds, he gets the assists. If he scores over 10 points, then you feel really good about it. Here's an interesting thing, though. From a defense versus position standpoint, Charlotte is the league's worst against small forwards. I mean, who would have known, right?
Oh, they're epically bad. They're so bad against small forwards.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that that's because they've given up such massive lines to LeBron and KD this year?
I mean, maybe, but but here's the thing. I mean, you have to go back and look at the game logs and...
Oh, you know where I can do that? Fantasy5by5.com.
Oh, Synergy.
The official lineup logic analytics part. So let me go ahead and let me talk a little real quick about starting small forwards versus the Charlotte Hornets in the last 10 games. Let's go ahead and draw this up here, get the DVP. What's happened in the last 10 games? LeBron James, 71 points. Kyle Anderson, 37 points. Josh Richardson, 34 points. John Simmons, 22. Kevin Durant, 66. So who busted? Otto Porter.
Yeah, but what did Kelly Oubre do?
Kelly Oubre, that's a good point. What did Kelly Oubre do? They're saying Andrew Wiggins busted, but there's no point in classifying Andrew Wiggins as a small forward when we really know that it's Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Okay. And Denzel Valentine, okay, here we go. He's in this list. He had this game 2 weeks ago or 10 games ago, 2 weeks ago in November. He put up 34 fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, so, I'll take 34 from him all day. That's basically 7X almost.
It is. It's almost exactly 7X. So let's do it. I think he's in play. I think Jonathan Simmons is in play. But I'm not really – maybe MKG because you now have some extra possible rebounds with no Zeller.
On my sheet here, the starting forward difference between 4 weeks and 2 weeks, the two highest teams, the teams that are trending in the wrong direction or right direction for us – is Chicago and Charlotte. Chicago's giving up 16.8% more production over the last 2 weeks, which is a massive number. Like, that is massive. That's a pink tier one. Yeah, and then Charlotte, 5.4%. Right behind them is New Orleans. I can't remember what that Joker's name is, that small forward that they're running out there these days. But between him and Dante...
Darius Miller.
Yeah, between him and Dante Cunningham, I'm good. So if you want to punt, I don't want to say punt. If you want to pay down at small forward, this Chicago Charlotte game is where you want to look only. Yep. Otherwise, go up to the top studs.
Yeah. Well, I think if you can fit in John Simmons, I think you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
I think you make an argument for fitting in John Simmons.
He's just playing way too many minutes.
It's so hard to fade the minutes there. All right, but let's look into the power forward position because there's a little bit more depth here. I want to talk about Tobias Harris versus Golden State. I think this is a great spot for Tobias Harris to kind of get back on track. He had a couple down games, but he's pretty much shown us a 20-25 point floor. You talk about a guy who's probably going to get almost 40 minutes, 39 minutes in both of his last two games. Consistent in the peripherals. I'd love it if he got me a few extra assists, but he might be able to get a couple extra steals in this situation. Golden State playing at a pretty high pace. They actually turn the ball over a lot, believe it or not. What you want from Tobias Harris is 20 points. And if he can get you 20 points, then he's going to get you over 30. The question is it worth it at that price? And that's where I'll ask you, Josh. Is $6,600 worth taking a risk on Tobias Harris, who, that's kind of exactly 5X if he plays perfectly?
I mean, I don't hate it. Like, he's going to play the minutes. He's going to get the pace bump. And, he's not a terribly efficient player. 0.89 points per minute, 0.87 over the last month. Not great, but you got to like the matchup, like I said. And you did mention the steals too. Golden State gives up the most or top three steals in the league. And I think that's really a function of their pace. But I mean, his minutes, dude, 39, 39, 35, like Jesus Christ, like, he's getting a ton of minutes.
I would love if Harris was able to do a little bit more scoring in the paint. He's relied a lot on the three this year. He's taken a lot of attempts from behind the arc. That if he wants to get to the rim, this is a spot to get to the rim. But he's doing that. Let me see here. I'm looking on NBA stats at NBA.com. Can't quite find it. But if he was taking more attempts inside the paint, I would really, really, really like that because they do allow production there around the rim. So we'll see. Maybe he does. You've got an interesting guy. I mean, the man of the hour, Z-Bo, no doubt about it. But damn, that's a price jump.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a massive price jump. But if there's something that you can feel good about with Z-Bo right now is his A, always massive usage. The guy has always been a usage hog. The problem with him, though, is that we haven't been getting the minutes over the last, you know, couple seasons, but and rightfully so, you know, he's getting up there and, you know, he's a big guy and those bigs need, you know, their minutes limited. But dude, 31 minutes, 33, 31, his last three games just went for 48 against Cleveland. I thought we were going to see like a 60 or 70 pointer. And, you know, because I think he had almost 40 points in the first half, FanDuel points.
Yeah, I know. You know, he did. He had 36.
Yeah, but he wound up with a massive number for his salary, 48 points at 5,900. He jumped up $800 to 6,700. But here's the thing. I'm perfectly fine using him going against New Orleans. New Orleans is really bad against power forwards, and they're not bad against centers, but they're really bad against power forwards, giving up 52.6 FanDuel points per game. It's a 4.7% increase over the last couple weeks, so that's a pretty significant increase. So I like Z-Bo a lot in this one, and you mentioned it, you know, 15, 20 minutes ago. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be out, and that is the biggest threat to him in the front court as far as taking usage away. Not really worried about Costa Kufos whatsoever. Not worried about Scal. I still can't say his name. Labissiere. You know, I'm not worried about these guys. I think he's going to have 30%, 25% usage. But the other guy that I'm really into, and this is a guy that I just love rostering lately because he gets – minutes and you just feel safe with him, and it's Thaddeus Young going against Cleveland. You know, we saw what Z-Bo just did to Cleveland, and they're somewhat similar players, you know, relatively high usage fours, and I don't mind jamming the both of them, you know, or, you know, Tobias and one of these guys just going like mid-range of power forward, because honestly, like I'm into Aaron Gordon. I'm always into getting a sneaky LMA play in there.
Right.
I don't think I've rostered Draymond yet this year, but that trio at the top there just really doesn't do it for me. So I feel like the sweet spot is just kind of finding the two right guys to pick in this range of, you know, Z-Bo down to, you know, your 5K level guys.
I kind of agree with you there. There's a couple value options too below 5K if you want to dip down there, who I think are in a good spot. They just haven't quite gotten noticed or priced up yet. At center, couple options here, and we're going to go quick because we want to build you guys a lineup here. If you're not going Boogie, I think you start with Kevin Love, and I love Kevin Love in this spot. I mean, this should just be total abuse. I actually would like, if you ask me, you have one choice, you have to play one guy from that game, it's going to be Kevin Love all day. They get destroyed by the center. They allow the most points in the paint per game. And when Kevin Love has the opportunity to do work, LeBron actually just feeds the shit out of him. He will give him so many possessions. We saw them in this game earlier in the year, you know, and I don't think Love had really broken out then yet. Like, remember, he waited for a little while to kind of have a breakout. And then all of a sudden they realized, like, oh, yeah, don't forget, Kevin Love should be taking a shit ton of shots. The Indiana game, he had 13 and 13. He had 36 fantasy points. But recently, you know, 36 has kind of been the median outcome for him in the last month. You know, he had 36 in just 30 minutes against Sacramento. So you have a really nice matchup. Hopefully he gets over 30 minutes here. If he gets those minutes, he should be able to destroy in this spot, because it's just that they just can't defend him down there. Miles Turner's not going to really know what to do with K-Love. So I have no problem with K-Love. And then my other guy is Dwight Howard. Listen, they have nobody else to play center in this situation. You know, he's only going to get 30 minutes, but the reality is that Charlotte just lost Frank with an ankle. He's out. Cody Zeller tore his meniscus. So Howard is probably going to have to play more than the 30 minutes that he normally plays, and he's going up against Chicago. Chicago is just a terrible defense in general, not a terrible center defense because Robin Lopez is relatively respectable, but just terrible defense in general. They rank 15th in DVP to the position. So you have the opportunity for Dwight to get some extra run. He hasn't quite been priced up for that extra, those extra minutes. I think that's an interesting spot to exploit. And Fern, you got Paul Gasol here. This is an interesting spot against Boston.
Yeah. I don't know if people realize this, but Boston is just getting completely decimated, annihilated even. By centers. It's weird. Like every position they're holding their own. But centers are just completely just killing them. 69.6 FanDuel points per game to centers over the last 2 weeks. That's a 31.9% increase compared to the 4 week time frame. That is that increase right there is so significantly statistically significant. There's what I wanted to say. It's crazy. Like, you got to pay attention to this trend. Centers are killing Boston. I wish I had the murderer's row of centers they face lately, but if my memory serves me correctly, I think Tyson Chandler just completely ripped them a new one recently. There was somebody else like really just like out of left field that crushed him. But if you're attacking Boston in any area, it's going to be with center. So I think that Pau Gasol, you know, every once in a while he has a really big 40 point outing in him. He's dipped under 6K. He's at 5,900. We haven't seen him under 6K since, around Thanksgiving, but you know, in that span of time, he's had a 34, 40, 41, 37 point outing. So, you know, you've got your 20, you know, point outings here and there, but I think that this is a spot where it's a smart play with Gasol. You know, going into that game, he won't have played since December 6th. So he's going to have like two or three full days of rest. So I just think that it's a nice spot for him. You know, I don't know if we're going to have to worry about him getting popped going against Boston. It's a big game, you know, two good teams.
Right.
So yeah, Pau Gasol, 5,900. If you're going to pay down at center, I mean, I think honestly, that's as low as you can go. Maybe Robin Lopez, but I like Pau in this one.
Yeah. All right. We're going to fly through the bargain basement here, and then we are going to get into a really quick draft here. But at point guard position, we mentioned, I'm going to take the point guard values here. We mentioned, you know, the possibility for Emmanuel Mudiay. I don't mind that. I like Darren Collison. I think that if you could figure out how De'Aaron Fox and George Hill were going to get their minutes allocated, that would be an interesting spot. New Orleans giving up production to the point guard and on the wing. I don't mind it. You don't have two guys who really have done a lot of scoring recently, though, and I think that that's part of the problem. Frank Mason and Jerian Grant off the bench. This kind of $3,900 tier with Terry Rozier, Jerian Grant, Frank Mason off the bench. DJ Augustine, if we get word that he's going to start at shooting guard for some reason, I think he is possibly in play as well. So, Josh, run through your shooting guard options.
All right, shooting guard. Shooting guard, I'm into same deal. You know, I don't know which one to use, but my gut says use Buddy Hield in this one. Buddy Hield against New Orleans. New Orleans is not very good against shooting guards, giving up 43 and 44 over the last 4 and 2 weeks, respectively. So I'm into Buddy as a DVP play. If I'm looking for safe minutes, I'm going to go with Etuan Moore. Sacramento is pretty solid against shooting guards, but he has not been playing shooting guard. He's been playing small forward, and they're really bad against small forwards, giving up 47 and 48 points to small forwards, which are bad numbers relative to the position. So I like Moore as well.
All right. At small forward, we talked about a couple of these guys. You know, I guess Valentine qualifies as a value play for sure. I think you could go Boyan as well. 4,800 against Cleveland is a nice price. Wilson Chandler, if he gets the minutes, he should be kind of, you know, a borderline interesting play, but he just hasn't done much scoring. Lance Stephenson, if we have a feeling that Lance is going to play some extra minutes against Cleveland in order to guard LeBron, which he actually didn't in the first game, he could be a possible play. The one guy that everybody keeps talking about, Jakar Sampson, he jumped out there and played 30 minutes against Cleveland. If he plays again, if he starts again, I think you could comfortably roll him out as a wing against New Orleans. And he is in an interesting spot. Other than that, I'm not really touching anybody unless we get news. Power forward, I like some of these calls that you have here, Josh.
Yeah. Oh, and the name that was escaping me for who just crushed Boston from center position is the one and only Maxi Kleber. And Maxi went for almost 40 points, which was, over 10x value last night, Wednesday night against Boston. He was the starting center. I, of course, used Dwight Powell in my lineup like a fucking idiot. And Maxi just dominated them, man. Of course, Maxi dominated them. So Maxi... Yep. Is your he's like your baseline, okay? If Maxi Kleber can take a big old dookie on Boston, then Pau Gasol can too. But yeah, Maxi's got himself a nice little matchup. Yes, power forward eligible, but Dallas is going against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's dominant against power forwards, but they're not very good against centers. And again, I want to stress, he's a center. Okay, so this is one of those guys that if y'all don't know, like, he's near Min Sal and he's the starting center for the Dallas Mavericks. So feel good about him. I also like if Miles Turner is out, Domantas Sabonis, he should get a lot of run at the five if Turner's out and Cleveland is vulnerable against centers and power forwards. We saw what Zach Randolph just did to them. So use that as a guiding light post for you. And the last one there for you guys is one and only Marvin Williams. The murderer Williams, the murderer of lineups, because you don't know if it's going to be him or Frank the Tank getting you production, but I believe Kaminsky is going to be out in this one. He got hurt in the last game, and they are getting killed, Chicago, by forwards. And centers, they're pretty average. I would call him mainly a power forward, but you could also call him like just a forward. You know, he shoots the three ball, he plays on the perimeter, and you could also call him a center in a sense because he, you know, gets a lot of work in the paint. You know, he lines up at the five a lot. So Marv is, I like Marv a lot.
He does a lot of rebounding and he brings size. Yes. And listen, we said don't pay down for center tonight. There's too many good options up above. So we're not paying down for center.
Just jam Maxi Kleber in your lineup and collect the monies.
Maxi Kleber. Okay, ready for this? We're going to go 5 minute or a 1 minute draft here.
Oh, God.
We got to go fast. All right. I'm starting with Boogie. Second round pick, go.
I'm starting with Maxi Kleber.
Yes.
Wait, where is he? Oh my God.
I got him. Maxi Kleber. I'm going to go a little bit more obvious. Kevin Durant.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I picked Maxi.
Yeah, we need that.
Okay. So you got Kevin Durant and Maxi, and you got Boogie. I am going to go with point guard Rajon Rondo.
Rondo. Okay. We're going to need to save some dough at power forward. I actually really like Marv. I think this is a good spot for Marvinator, so I'm going to go Marv right there.
Marvinator it is. Okay. I am going to go down in... I don't want to... How much money do we have left? Oh, my God. The time is ticking. I'm freaking out. Oh, 5,700. We're good. All right. Sweet. I'm going to go...
Get that value small forward in there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a guy that stands out to me that you just mentioned. Denzel Valentine.
Denzel Valentine. I love that 5K price point right there. Yeah, 30 minutes from 5K price point. If you get, you know, you get a fantasy point per minute, that's just a really good stuff. So we're almost at a 6K here. So I'm going to take one shooting guard that is under 6K, and then we're going to have the ability to spend above 6K for our second point guard and our other guy. I am either, what do you think, Buddy Hield or Etuan Moore? Buddy Hield is actually in a revenge game as well, just to be clear.
Dude, fire up Buddy. Fuck it, man.
Yeah, I know. All right, Buddy Hield. He's on a heater. Let's get him in there. Now we have 6,400 for shooting guard and a point guard. You pick first.
I feel like, let me see something here. Yeah, I feel like we got to get a solid option here at point guard, but we can't really fuck around too much. With the top level guys, because that's going to drop us way too low for shooting guard to my tastes. I guess Jamal Murray. I feel a little.
Darren Collison. And guess who that leaves us with?
The one and only Gare Bear.
Gare Bear.
Dude, $60,000 on the dot.
Yeah, that was for this is a sexy cash
game. And you know what's pretty sweet is nobody's on the same team.
No. Rondo, Collison, Hield, Harris, Durant, Valentine, Kleber, Williams, and Boogie.
So you got two absolute studs, a couple mid-range guys, and some smart punts. I like it, Sean.
All right, man. Hey, guys, that is it. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. We are going to get out of here. Good luck with your lineups. Check it out. Josh, thank you, sir, for jumping in.
Yes, sir. Thank you, buddy.